time as this. And let me say this, as I've said just about every message, God wants to use you in such a time as this. And I want us to remind ourselves on a regular basis that God is still at work. And before we leave this theme, I wanted us to look at some reasons why sometimes God's people don't fulfill their such a time as this, don't fulfill the impact that God wants them to make. And last week we looked at Jonah, and we said the bottom line with Jonah is Jonah had some ideas that were different than God's ideas. And Jonah said, I don't think you should save these people in Nineveh. And God said, hey, I want to. And Jonah decided to go the opposite way of where God wanted him to go. I hope that that won't be our response. And we said, disobedience hinders your impact. And God wants all of us to live in light of eternity. God wants all of us to impact people for Him. And we have a responsibility to the next generation. Now, there are four messages that I want to preach. We looked at last week at disobedience hindering our impact. This morning, I want to look at probably one of the greatest reasons why we do not impact other people, and that is this matter of discouragement. And we're going to look at discouragement in just a minute. We're also going to look at a message on Peter when it comes to the matter of defeat. When we're defeated in our lives, that hinders the impact that God wants us to have. And then lastly, we're going to look at a message on Moses. Stephen looked at Moses last Sunday night. We're going to look again at Moses and some things that we believe that aren't true about ourselves. And the message will probably be entitled, Deceit Hinders Our Impact. I love what Brother Charles prayed in the offertory prayer. Did you hear that? We get to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In the beginning, God spoke this world into existence. And all the years passed, and then God made you. And God made me, and we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And then God said this, I want to use you. I want to use you. And I want to use you to make an impact on people here and now in 2024. And we need to recognize that God is still at work in such a time. As we can look at the Bible and say, God worked then. Hey, God is at work now. God still wants to save people now. And we find ourselves here in 1 Kings chapter number 19. Elijah, the prophet of God, is in a cave. And God comes to him in verse number 9, and he says this, and he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Elijah, why are you sitting in this cave and not doing what I called you to do? Can we say it this way? Elijah, why are you sitting in this cave and not fulfilling your such a time as this? You're not fulfilling what I want you to do in such a time as this. And we'll look this morning as we look at this chapter, we'll see that discouragement keeps us from having the impact that God wants us to have. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll dive in. Lord, we love you today. Lord, thank you for the privilege to love you. Lord, I stand amazed when I think that you spoke this world into existence. And many years passed, and you said to me, I want to use you. And Lord, you've said to every one of us, I want to use you. Lord, often in the nasty now, we can find ourselves being drawn into the cave. We can find ourselves, Lord, discouraged with our circumstances, our situation. Lord, I ask that you would free us this morning from discouragement. And I ask, Lord, that you get us out of the cave and get us back on the front lines serving you. Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1 Kings chapter number 17, we are introduced to Elijah. It doesn't take long for us to realize that God's hand is upon Elijah. Elijah goes to the king and says, hey, look, it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain again. That's some interesting, that's some serious boldness. He goes to the king and says that. And then we find Elijah by the brook Cherith, and we find God taking care of him and providing for him. We find a few verses later, he meets a widow woman, and God uses him in the life of a widow woman. We see the power of God on his life as he raises the widow's son from the dead. In chapter number 18, we see the power of God on Elijah as Elijah calls down fire from heaven as he stands there and has the showdown with the priests of Baal, and God works in a great way. At the end of that chapter, we see Elijah praying again, and God sends the rain in answer to Elijah's prayer. Elijah is the one that God uses in James chapter number 5 for us as an illustration of the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. We see the power. We see the hand of God. And yet, when we look at 1 Kings chapter number 19 and verse number 9, we find him in a cave and God says to him, what are you doing in this cave? You're not serving me like you should be. He's discouraged, he's defeated, and God is concerned about where Elijah is. I have found in working with individuals in 2024, I have found sometimes in just living life, I have found that sometimes the cave can call all of us. I have found that sometimes in the midst of what we're supposed to be doing, we can find ourselves defeated. We can find ourselves discouraged. We can find ourselves disappointed with life and what's happening in our lives. It is important for us to recognize that the devil will use discouragement to keep us from doing what we're supposed to be doing. In 2 Samuel chapter number 18, Absalom, David's son, had died. And we know the story of Absalom and how he got away from God, got away from David and this and that. And he dies in battle, and the word comes back to David. And David is grieving for his son. And he's grieving so much that he's failing to realize that there were individuals that had fought and been faithful to David that needed to follow David's leadership. And Joab said to David, as David was grieving his son's death, he said to him in 2 Samuel 18, he said, you're going to lose the people of the kingdom if you don't basically get it together. You know, sometimes we can be overwhelmed or challenged with some part of our lives. Moms have kids and they're trying to raise their kids for the Lord, and sometimes a kid goes wayward and a mom can get bogged down over the wayward kid, and I think we should be burdened. I think we should pray for the wayward kid, but sometimes the wayward kid can so bog a mom down that a mom forgets the fact that she's got other kids that need attention and other kids that need her to continue to do what she's supposed to be doing. Sometimes individuals can have challenges in their marriage or challenges in their work. And you come home from work and you've got a challenge, Dad, and you're bogged down with work and what's going on at work. And you got children at home. And guess what? Those children need you. They need you to handle life in a biblical way. And if we're not careful, sometimes in our discouragement, it can keep us from serving the Lord. Have you ever been tempted to stay away from church because you were discouraged? Boy, that's a big one that the devil uses. We say, well, I'm just kind of discouraged and down right now. I'm going to stay home and chill. What you need to do is come to church and get with the people of God and allow the people of God to minister as God would have and to help encourage you in the things of the Lord. Elijah was God's prophet. Elijah had the hand of God on him, but Elijah was in a cave not fulfilling his such a time as this. And though we know God wants to use us, sometimes we can find ourselves in the cave as well. So I want to look at this story here this morning, and I want to give you some steps that I remind myself often on a regular basis from this passage that I find helpful. So I want you to look at 1 Kings chapter number 19. I want you to look at verse number 2, And I want you to see this. If you're taking notes, here's our first step. Number one, don't let bad news throw you. Don't let bad news throw you. In verse number two, the Bible says this, "Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." Jezebel, the queen, is not a happy camper. She's not happy with what happened in chapter number 18. And she threatens Elijah. She threatens his life. And he's got this news, and all of a sudden, this news throws him. Sometimes we're hard on Elijah. But the reality is, we can get news this afternoon that can throw us pretty quickly as well. Unfortunately, the news tells you the bad news more than they tell you the good news. You ever watch the news? They tell you this one was murdered, and this one went to jail, and this is bad, and this is bad, and the whole world's coming to an end. They don't say that at the end. It's rare that they tell you concerning the successes and concerning the positive things in life. Can I say this? Bad news is only bad news to us. God is not thrown by bad news, all right? God's not thrown at all. I want you to take your Bible, hold your place in 1 Kings 19, and I want you to go to Genesis chapter number 42. Genesis chapter number 42, we see the story here of Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery, and Joseph is now in Egypt, and Joseph is being used of God to help everybody. And his brothers come to see him, and Joseph recognizes that it's his brothers, and Joseph plays some games with him a little bit, sends him back, and puts the money back in the sacks and all that. Make a long story short, Joseph says to his brothers, "You go home, and you bring Benjamin here to me. And you bring Benjamin, and I'll know, the young son, I'll know that you're telling me the truth." They get there, and they're talking to Jacob. Jacob's the father of Benjamin. And Jacob, in his mind, thinks that Joseph had died. And I want you to notice what Jacob says as we look at Genesis chapter number 42. And I want you to look at what he says in verse number 36. "And Jacob, their father, said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not." You remember Simeon had to stay back and stay in the prison there while they waited on the brothers to get back. "And ye will take Benjamin away?" Now look at what he says. "All these things are against me." All these things are against me, Jacob says. Jacob is processing life through his own mind. We get a chance, because we have the Word of God, to see the big picture. We know that what God is doing is Joseph wants Benjamin, and eventually Jacob will recognize that what is bad news to him is really good news, and God is at work. As a matter of fact, we see in chapter number 45, Joseph said, "Hey, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God sent me to preserve life." You see, sometimes we live life like you watch a football game. You're watching your team, and your team's winning. You're like, "Oh, yeah, they're winning. Oh, an interception. Oh, no, we're going to lose this game. Oh, they're, you know, up and down." Sometimes that's how we view life. Hey, things are going good. Things are going. Hey, God's perspective is so different. God is at work in such a time as this. He works all things together for our good and for His glory. The Scripture says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. He's never in a bad mood. He's never worried about anything. God's perspective is different. Now think about Elijah and what Elijah was focusing on. We go back to our text in 1 Kings 19. Elijah had seen God do many things, didn't he? You look at chapter 17, he had seen God answer prayer there. He had seen God take care of him. He called down fire from heaven. He had seen God do great things. But there's one queen that says to him, "Hey, I'm after you," and he's focusing on the negative. Isn't that sometimes how we are? The Bible says, whichever things are true and honest and just and pure and right, what are we to do? We are to think on these things. You see, you can choose to think on the negative, or you can choose to think on the positive. When we allow bad news to throw us, we find ourselves being pulled into that cave. A year or two ago, on a Saturday morning at 2 o'clock in the morning, or 1 o'clock in the morning, whatever, my wife and I were sleeping, and I don't know, maybe it was more than 2-3 years ago. My wife will tell me when she realizes what I'm talking about. We got a bang, boom, 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 boom. What was this happening? Yeah, there's water coming all down in the kitchen, the bathroom, it's all over the place. Now, of course, I don't know about you, it always happens for me on a Saturday night, because you know you got to preach the next day, Sunday. And I get up, I'm telling you, I was overwhelmed. I mean, he was just like, what in the world? This is a disaster. And you know, at that time, it was bad news. But you know, they have this stuff called homeowner's insurance. I don't hear Brother Brown saying amen, right? He don't like it when you have a claim. I tell you this, the kitchen looks a whole lot better now than it did then. And God must have known, hey, it's time for you to get a new kitchen floor and get this thing painted again a little bit better. And you see, bad news is bad news to us. It's not bad news to God. And when we receive bad news, we cannot allow bad news to throw us. Number two, go back to our text, 1 Kings chapter number 19, and I want you to see this. Number one, don't let bad news throw you. Number two, don't let life exhaust you. Now, I want you to look at chapter 18 and verse number 45. I want you to see he runs to Jezreel, which is about 17 miles from Carmel. God gives him the ability to do this. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. Verse 46, he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to Jezreel. Chapter 19 and verse number 3, when he saw that he arose, he went for his life and came to Beersheba. Approximately 100 miles, which belongeth to Judah, left a servant there. Then verse number 4, he gets up and he goes another day's journey. He himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. And he sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. It is enough, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. He is so tired. And he is so weary. Let me remind us, he didn't just hop on a private plane. He didn't hop on a helicopter. He's tired and he's weary and he's not thinking right and he's physically wiped out. By the way, look at how God deals with him at first. Verse 5, end of the verse. An angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Verse 6, he looked and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, a cruse of water. He did eat and drink and laid him down again. Let me just remind us of this. We often forget when it comes to this matter of discouragement. Really, it comes to our matter. We're three part. We're body, soul, and spirit. Do you know sometimes one of the most spiritual things you can do is take a nap? And I tell you, we live in a society where we burn the candle at both ends and we're proud of it. And we get ourselves so tired and so worn out that we cannot think straight. We cannot make decisions. And it's important for us. We know the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And it's important for us to get enough sleep. I think it's important for us to exercise. I think it's important for us to try to eat right. I think it's important to go to the doctor when you need to. I think it's important for us sometimes to plan some downtime. Jesus called his disciples and said, come apart and rest a while. And we haven't got to the spiritual aspects of this, but the reality is we need time sometimes where we're burning it. We're trying to do too many things. By the way, if the devil can keep you so busy, he'll keep you from going soul winning. He'll keep you from going to church. He'll keep you from everything he can because we're so busy. The reality is it is important for us to take time. What did Jesus say to Martha and Mary when he was at their house? He said, Mary hath chosen that good part. Sometimes we allow life to exhaust us and we can find ourselves anxious and discouraged from physical issues in our life. But I want you to look at our text now as we think concerning what God's trying to communicate to Elijah. The Bible says to him, what are you doing here? Verse 10, he gives his spiel. We'll look at his spiel in a minute. verse 11. And he said, go forth in verse Kings number 19 and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And there was a great strong wind. And the Bible says the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. The Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12. And after the earthquake, a fire. The Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a still small voice. James Smith, commentator, says, a voice is something more than a sound or influence and an assurance of the presence of a living personality. Another commentator said it was in a soft, gentle rustling that he revealed himself to him. Matthew Henry said, at last he perceived a still small voice in which the Lord was. And later says he was the Word was in the still small voice. What God needed to do is get Elijah to where he and Elijah could have some talks, some communion. And I'll tell you this, if your life is so busy, you don't have time with the Lord, your life is too busy. The most important part of your day is the time that you spend with God. Now people say, well, you don't understand, I don't have time. You know, you have time for what's important to you. Don't get so overwhelmed that you find yourself not spending time with God. By the way, that's where the devil wants you to be. He don't want you spending time with the Lord. He don't want you connecting to the vine, because then you'll bear fruit. Then you'll have peace. You'll have joy. You'll have the peace that passeth all understanding, because you're connected to God. F.B. Meyer says this in his book on the secret of guidance. It is because your life is so hurried, you do not take enough time for meditation and prayer. The Spirit of God within you and the presence of God without you cannot be discerned while the senses are occupied with pleasure, or the pulse beats quickly, or the brain is filled with the tread of many hurrying thoughts. It is when water stands that it becomes clear and reveals the pebbly beach below. Be still and know that God is within you and around you. In the hush of the soul, the unseen becomes visible and the eternal real. The eye dazzled by the sun cannot detect the beauties of its pavilion till it has had time to rid itself of the glare. Let no day pass without its season of silent waiting before the Lord. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. And we're spinning our wheels sometimes in life because we're not connected to Him. Don't let bad news throw you. Don't let life exhaust you. Number three, 1 Kings 19, verse 10 and verse 14, Elijah is talking about his condition. And I want you to see this. Don't let disappointment control you. Lord, he says, I've been very jealous, verse 10, for the Lord God of hosts, the children of Israel, forsaken thy covenants, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. Verse 14, he confronts him again. He says the same thing. I've been jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophet with the sword. He is disappointed with the people of God. He's disappointed with those that should have known better. He was serving God and preached and tried to get others to see it. Can I tell you this? One of the biggest disappointments, you come today and you hit the altar and you say, oh God, help me, for am I such a time as this? Lord, I want to impact people for you. And you get up and you leave here and you say, hey, I'm going to start telling people about Jesus. I'm going to try to start working, helping people. One of the biggest disappointments is working with people. By the way, one of the biggest joys is working with people. We looked yesterday morning at the joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. There's joy up there when someone trusts Christ as Savior. You work with people. You disciple people. You try to help people. I've been doing this for 30-something years now. I lost track, and you're standing, waving the flag, say, hey, don't go this way. There's a big cliff. You're going to hurt spiritually. It's not going to, and people will drive right by you and drive the car right over a cliff and learn the hard way. He said, do you tell them you told you? Say, no. They know that already. Say, come on here. Let's get up and let's try to Let's try to keep doing this. Oh, you think somebody's going to be there. You think somebody's going to do something. You think someone's going to respond in a proper way. You think someone's going to be thankful for what you did for them. We can find ourselves, Elijah's disappointed with the people of God. He's in a cave and he's saying, Lord, they're after me. Think about the disappointments. I mean, Elijah could have said this, you know what, God? I've been serving you faithfully. I've been serving you faithfully. And now you got this Queen Jezebel and she's after me. You know, of course, God had done so many other things. He didn't need to think that way. But sometimes we do that, don't we? Lord, I've been serving you. I've been reading my Bible. I've been trying to go sowing. I've been trying to do what I'm supposed to do. And this comes in my life. God knows what he's doing. And sometimes the disappointments with people. Years ago, I was talking to a youth pastor, and he sent some people out on soul winning, and they went out soul winning, knocking the door, and the people were unresponsive. They slammed the door. Guys came back, threw the cards down, and said, I'm not doing this anymore. Why? Because they allowed disappointment with people to control them. And we've got disappointments sometimes with individuals, don't we? We pray for them, we help them, we do what we can to try to help them along life's road. And boy, sometimes people, you get the naysayers. Some people, we're just helping you to see the other side. You go, man, I got this idea. This is a great idea. There's always somebody go, oh, I don't know about that. Have you thought about this? I read a story about a lady named Betty Nesmith. She had a secretarial job in Dallas, in a Dallas bank. She ran across a problem that interested her, and she thought there had to be a better way to correct the errors she made on her electric typewriter. She had some art experience. She knew that artists who worked in oils just painted over their errors. Maybe that would work for her too, she said, so she concocted a fluid to paint over her typing errors. I know you know where you're going, where I'm going with this, because you got the same problem that I have. That's right. Before long, all the secretaries in her building were using what she called mistakeout. She tried to sell the product, IBM and companies like that. Nope, 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 nope. You know what? She said, hey, we're going to still use this product. We're going to use this product in our factory. Her kitchen became her first manufacturing facility, and she started selling it on her own. When she sold the enterprise, the tiny white bottles were earning $3.5 million annually on sales of $38 million. The buyer was Gillette Company, and the sale price was $47.5 million. You can't do this. That stuff's crazy. You're not going to do this. Yes, I can. She wasn't going to let disappointments. And you know what? We allow disappointments, whether it be with people, whether it be a circumstance, we allow them sometimes to control us, and we cannot get out. And I'll tell you this, we're going to stay in a cave until we get our eyes off of the disappointments in life and get our eyes back on Jesus. And that's where Elijah is. The people of God, the people of God, the people of God. By the way, don't let the people of God take you out of church. You're knocking to me, well, the people of God, they're all just a bunch of hypocrites. You know, we're all human beings. But God says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as a matter of some is. God wants you here in church. And maybe if we'll be what God wants us to be, we'll help some of the hypocrites to see the error of their way. Amen? Amen. Number four, and we'll be finished. Don't let bad news throw you. Don't let life exhaust you. Don't let disappointment control you. Here's number four, and we'll be finished. Don't let limitations stop you. The latter part of verse 10, Elijah says this, I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. I'm the only one left. I'm the only one serving God. I'm the only one that still loves God enough to be faithful. It's all on me. And boy, he recognized his own inability, didn't he? Latter part of verse 14, he says the exact same thing. I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. They're about to kill me. The world's going to end if I die. There's no hope for God and for truth. And Elijah is not thinking clearly. You know where he's looking? His eyes are in his own self. His own limitations. And God has to say to him, verse number 18, I have 7,000 others, pal, in Israel, all the knees which I have not bowed unto Baal. You see, God's not limited at all. As a matter of fact, God manifests His power in the earthquake, in the wind, and in the fire. God wanted Elijah to see that he was the one that is able. And he says to Elijah, "Elijah, get out of this cave because I still have a job for you to do. And if you will get your eyes off your own weakness and your own limitations, and you'll get your eyes on me and my strength, I can use you." And he puts him back into the army. He says this in his army, verse 15. "Go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you come, anoint Hazael to be king over Israel. Jehu, the son of Nimshi, I want you to anoint him to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Melah, shall anoint to be thy prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elijah slay." Verse 19, "So he departed thence and found Elisha, and he got back," he got out of the cave, and he got back doing what God wanted him to do. Boy, we can find many people in the Word of God. I thought about Gideon. Gideon says, "Oh, you want me?" What about Moses? There's a lot of individuals with limitations, and yet God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. Where does the cave call you? Say, what do you mean? Where do you find your day interrupted by disappointment? And you find the cave calling you, and you say, "You know what, I feel kind of down. I feel kind of discouraged. I feel sitting in a cave, we're not doing anything to help anybody. So we got to get out of that cave." Is it bad news? God's in control. Just like he was with Jacob. "Oh, everything's against me." No, it's not. That's our perception. There you go. What about life? You trying to burn candle at both ends? You trying to live life in the arm of the flesh? Do you know when we look at Jesus and his life, he wasn't running around like a chicken with a head chopped off going, "Okay, you do this and you got to do that and you do this and you do that." We don't see Jesus doing that at all. We see him many times coming aside and spending time with the Father. You'll get a lot more done if you'll start your day off with the Lord than you will be if you don't. What about disappointments? You say, "Yeah, but get our eyes off of people. Get our eyes on him." Yeah, but you don't understand. I can't. Your own limitations. We're our worst enemy. That's why Paul said this: "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." It's not "I can do all things," because none of us can. You can't live the Christian life in your own power. You need Christ. And God is at work in 2024, in June of 2024. He is at work, and God wants to use every one of us if we'll allow him to get us out of the cave and say, "I'm not going to live discouraged by God's grace. I'm going to let God use me the fullest possible." Lord,